Good morning. God is awesome as always, and he proves himself faithful through our services, and I feel like it's really good preparation. I hope that I can bring this word in a way that we'll just continue it, because I feel like it's right in line with what's been happening. And I just want to proclaim this because it's by the blood of the Lamb and a word of our testimony. What was your friend's name, or the guy that we just prayed for?
Travis.
Well, Joe Lowry took a bullet to the head, and he survived. And it came when a bunch of people, his breakthrough came when a bunch of people were interceding for him together. And so there's power in what we did. And so I stand in faith, having seen it happen in the past, that this guy is going to survive. There's a song, "Will You Do It Again?" So, Father, we just ask that you would do it again. In Jesus' name. Tom's preached a sermon already, right? Like, that was pretty amazing. Thank you, Tom. And so I want you to reflect on yourself, yourselves, and figure out how this fits in you, because some of us run too hard, and some of us run the wrong direction, and some of us stay too hard. So my message is going to be more about when to move. So we've all been busy. Can anybody attest to being busy? Like it's just been crazy busy. And I just wonder what toll that has had on your relationship with the Father. I could ask this in another way and say, what has it done to your awareness of what he's doing or where he is? Are you aware of his presence, or are you struggling through unknown to unknown? And are you feeling abandoned? These are all questions that kind of were being posed to me recently through some stuff that me and my family are walking through. And I just want to share a little bit of that just to give you some framework. So we are finding ourselves in another situation in life where God is calling us into something new, not away, just new. And we've been there in the past about 2 years ago, and 2 years ago we made some decisions that were right in the flesh. Looking at it from worldly wisdom, what we decided made sense. But we felt the Lord was calling us to be bold. We didn't get penalized for not being bold in the way that we really, at the end of it, felt like we should have been. We were still blessed in it, but we still, to this day, like, wonder what would have happened if we said yes to some of those risky things. And so this time around, we find ourselves kind of facing the same thing where we were like, man, this seems kind of risky and counterintuitive, and by all natural senses, it would be better to not surrender some of this to, not to pursue it, if you will. But we felt led, and we're by golly gonna pursue it because we trusted what he said. We have to trust the word of God, and then he speaks into our heart. We just have to trust him. And it's hard to delineate between faith and wisdom. Like, there's this struggle between the natural realm and the heavenly realms and the kingdom. And so we did everything that the Lord said do, and it put us in some positions where at the end of it, we're kind of feeling, like we had outrun our headlights a little bit, and I was just struggling with, I knew that we were following the Lord, and I knew he's going to make a way. Well, nothing, what we were pursuing didn't come to pass. But it doesn't mean we didn't listen. And the whole way, some of the things he had us do didn't make sense. And we just kept going. And so in a way, maybe he protected us, and maybe it was a test to see if we would just be bold enough to believe that this time we were going to walk in faith and not by sight. But in all of that, I was very confused, because I had been hearing the Lord. Hillary had been hearing the Lord. We were praying together. We were seeking the Lord in these things, and we were getting his yeses, and then the door closed, and that was confusing. And then he got very quiet for me, and I just felt like static noise, if you will. When I would pray, I would feel static noise. Not that he wasn't listening. I just wasn't receiving much. And I was confused. And so in kind of where I'm at in the Bible right now is Stacy has reinvigorated my desire to be in the Old Testament, knowing the Old Testament brings to life the New Testament. And so I've been spending some time in Numbers, and I came across Numbers 9, 15 through 23. And it really, as I was reading this, I knew something was to it, but I didn't have the full revelation. And as I continued to pray on it, I actually started seeing in the spirit what God was doing in my present. Does that make sense? And so I'm just going to read the scripture and then kind of bring to light some of the things that I feel are takeaways for me out of this, and I hope it blesses you guys too. So starting in 9:15, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle. I can't read. Let me start over. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even if the cloud continued over the tabernacle for many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained even until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whenever it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. And the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. Really, really, really redundant. If you are just reading, it's like, man, that's a lot of... So what's the point? Wherever God went, they went, and whenever God stayed, they stayed. In that situation I was talking to you about, I realized that I had lost sight of the presence of God in the situation and realized at a certain point in my lack of awareness, I lost sight that the cloud had settled. For some of you, Tom, the cloud is moving and you're not moving with it. For me, the cloud had settled and I was still trying to go. We need to be aware of the cloud or the presence of God. So I started really digesting this and thinking, like, I'm military and I just apply everything to military terms, but then I started getting a different picture. But in the types, there's different types of movement for us as Christians that I feel are important to kind of think through. And one's spiritual movement, one's mental and emotional movement, and one's physical, literal movement. In the spiritual movement, I consider that revelation. sometimes he'll show you something and want you to sit on it for a while and meditate and let it really sink in. Oftentimes we'll get a revelation and we'll try to run to the next thing. And we won't even let that revelation sit in. And then the devil will come and try to steal it from us because we haven't really just taken a hold of it and said, that's truth. We get a lot of truth thrown at us through YouTube, through Sunday morning, through Wednesday afternoon, through friends and everything else. And we're constantly receiving revelation, and sometimes we just need to camp out. Like just because revelation's coming doesn't mean the Lord's taking us there, especially in the age of, you know, the media and like all the medias that are out there. And so occasionally we just have to be aware that the Spirit of the Lord is saying we need to settle on this. And as it sinks in, as that truth sinks in, it's not thievable. It's not theftable. I'm going to keep making up words until I hit the right one. The other, or number two, is mental and emotional, or decision-making, for me, in this case, I'm telling you guys about, is decision-making. I've seen him lead me down decisions that literally expose something in me that's not of him, something I need to surrender and give up. Maybe it's a desire, maybe it's, in this case, let's just call it a desire. Whether it's unhealthy, a desire or thought. And that could be, I want to have this, but he doesn't want me to have this. And so it challenges me to trust him and answer him with my yes, even though I don't necessarily feel like that's going to be an easy decision. I have to agree and say, I'm willing to surrender that to go your way. And then physical, which is like literal movement. I know the Longs have been called to sell everything and go be missionaries, and I know other people that have also been called to that, and that would be a literal movement where it's like you're going to go and you're going to do this. But if the Lord hadn't gone with them, there would have been no grace for what they went to Bosnia and did, or Yemen, or anywhere else. They went with the Lord. So those are the types of movements, but what are the reasons for movement? And so I kind of broke those down into three main things: advancement, security and protection, and awareness and learning. When we're told to move, the most clear thing that we would be doing and moving is advancing. We're moving forward. That can be in physical form, spiritual form, and the kingdom. Sometimes it's about getting you from A to B, and sometimes it's about bringing the kingdom. I mean, we're always called to bring the kingdom, but in a certain thing, you're literally bringing the kingdom to someone as a taste and see kind of scenario. For security and protection, you could be moving away from the enemy. You could be exposing the enemy. There's literally times when you don't know, and this is another thing that the Lord was showing me, is when you get bogged down, you lose track of where the enemy is. You have to continue to move to see the enemy. Now, there's an ebb and a flow to this because I'm also saying when the cloud stays, you stay. There's protection in staying also. The point is to be aware of what God is calling you to, whether it's advance or hold steady. So then with the awareness and learning, when we move, we should be astute enough to perceive what we can learn when we move. Like there's learning in movement. If we're not, you know, every time in the Army we do something and we make a movement or we do a task, we stop, we review what happened, we say this was good, this was bad, what could we do better? And we should do that with God too, like reflect on ourselves and say, what did we do well? What did we do not so well? And what could we improve on? And the things that we did well, we were in alignment with him and the things we didn't, perhaps we got in our flesh, and then we know what we can do better next time. We've exposed the weakness in ourselves that we can make ourselves more Christ-like the next time we have to make that movement. Learning when to move and not to move, well, if we're moving when we're not supposed to, like I was kind of trying to drive a train forward, and God was saying, why don't you just settle down for a little bit, and I didn't perceive it. As I got out there and outrunning my headlights, so to speak, I realized that I needed to just kind of slow down and come back. I gained awareness. This whole thing for me is sharing with you how I became more aware that sometimes God doesn't say go somewhere. Like we're eager people. Through the victory of Jesus, we want to run headlong into everything and conquer the enemy. But there really is times for protection, for rest, for just many different reasons. God's going to say, like, hey, I want you right here. And I believe that in that is where we discover our identity. And frankly, for the men that came up here, thank you for being willing to expose yourself as someone who's running. God wants your identity to be in alignment with his identity for you. And that's really what you're running from. I've been there. I ran from my identity in Christ forever. And it's that's what it's about. He's saying you're so much better than what you are willing to say about yourself that it's uncomfortable and we run. The things that he's going to challenge you with when you step into your true identity in him is going to far exceed what you're capable of doing without him. And that's why we run. And so, did I leave off with learning? I learned through the movement, and then awareness of where Abba is, what he's doing. Like, when you get outside of his presence, you figure out where he is. I mean, you can perceive when you're outside of it, because even in Scripture it says if you go without him, you're going to suffer. Like, his presence is protecting you. And an example of that happens a few chapters later when the Israelites said, I don't want to go into the promised land. And then he said, okay, go back to the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. And then they said, but wait, we'll take it now. It's too late. They went up the hill and they got their butts kicked because the Lord stayed and they tried to go without the Lord. And then the other side of movement is rest, right? So wherever the cloud went, they went. Movement, and when it rested, they camped. Well, for me personally, in this story that I'm telling you, there was things I had to stop and settle for him to reveal the next phase, the next movement. But I was fatigued. I was tired from running so hard, and I was tired because I was just stressed out a little bit because I had already botched it in the past, and I was like, man, I don't want to mess this up. And so I was putting a bunch of stuff on me that wasn't for me, and I think he knew that better than I did. And so he's like, we're going to pump our brakes a little bit here and let him get his composure back. Let him reconnect with his wife. Let them get on the same page again somewhere along the way. We weren't not on the same page in the sense that we were arguing a bunch. It's just we needed to reconnect and reestablish where we were. We needed to get back in our little huddle and say, okay, where are we at and what's going on? I was fatigued. You know, the biggest thing that messes up our decision-making processes is ranger school. When you go to ranger school, they say you're either a hungry ranger or a sleepy ranger. You're either going to need food or need sleep. And so you, you don't need both. You're just a as people, we need one or the other to really function. But fatigue messes up our decision-making abilities. It just does, in the natural and in the spiritual. If we get tired, we start making bad decisions. And so God, hopefully we're all aware enough that he, like, if he stops talking, we should stop moving, essentially, and figure out what he's trying to do and get some rest. Another reason for rest, the same way moving creates protection, staying steady, staying still creates protection. And so, not in the same way, but it does. Like, you guys are with me. You can hunker down. You can. When we need to settle down in the army, we don't settle in a way that everybody else walks. We go and hide somewhere where it's really thick and nobody else will go. We're protected. And we stay really quiet, and we wait, and we rest before we're ready to move again. The other thing that happens in rest is accountability. God knows when we're getting spread thin, and the Lord settles in a situation, it is a good time to take into account what he has brought us through and what he has given to us at this point. So the way I'm tying this is like, we're taking an inventory of what God has done to this point. You know, the Israelites left Egypt, walked through parted waters, watched their enemy crushed by those waters, walked through the wilderness, and the whole time, nothing was good enough. They never settled. Like, even in the times when God rested, they weren't like, they were like, well, we just want to be back in our captor's possession, and we had it better there. But God was taking them to a land of milk and honey. And I think that they were so grumbling about where they had been that they couldn't see the good in what was in front of them. And so anyways, they lost the accountability of the accounts of the goodness that God had been providing to them. And so in rest, If we're just 0 to 100 and staying floored pegged out at 100, there's way too much going by us in the car to even see what's through the windows. And so occasionally we need to stop and look around and say, okay, we got here by this way. Does that make sense? And then another reason for rest is preparation. Through all those other things, through fatigue, through lack of awareness, we lose the ability to be prepared, and so the Lord will settle down to get us ready for the next thing, to re-energize us, you know, to get recentered on Him, and to look forward, and prepare. We don't have to know where He's going before He sends us. The New Testament says that the impulses of the Holy Spirit is what leads us, and so we can't always be certain that we know where the Lord's going to take us, but we can be preparing ourselves spiritually and mentally and emotionally to be ready to answer the call when the cloud lifts. So, for me, Matthew 11:30 kind of comes to a new meaning when it says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. I started seeing the cloud, and I'm under the cloud. I'm not pulling on anything with the yoke, which is around my neck. I'm not pulling. If I go before the cloud, I'm pulling now. Now that yoke is getting heavier. But if I'm under the cloud and I don't go anywhere, the cloud doesn't go. Now it's pulling me and it's light. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. I just picture the cloud is fluffy. It's not heavy. If I'm under it, that is what I'm carrying. And it's not heavy. But if I step away, there's other things that can start to get piled on me. And that's when, so if you feel like the yoke you've been bearing is burdensome and not easy. And the burden you're carrying is not light, then it's a pretty good idea that you've exceeded the presence of God, in my opinion. It's a good place to stop and say, God, where are you? And get back in his presence. And now, maybe some of you are saying, yeah, but Scott, God is in us. Yes, that's true. But if he isn't telling you to go, you should not be going. In your spirit, he can camp. He can park it. In your spirit, he can say, this is where we're going to stay. And if you go beyond that, you're going to have some consequences. That's the reality. And that's what I was experiencing. Some of you, you're running. Some of you are dragging your feet, and he's saying, go. That's for you to figure out. I can't dictate that or determine for you, but I know you're feeling. Some of you, you got it all figured out. But a lot of us are feeling. I don't want to encompass everybody. I don't like encompassing speech, so I got to. But some of you guys are feeling like, man, this has been way harder than it should be. Why? Well, where's the Lord in it? Where's the Lord in it? The Israelites had it easy because Moses told them. They had a guy that was like, okay, cloud's moving. Let's go. Okay, cloud, stop. Set up camp. We don't have it that easy. Because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, which, listen, in perfect world, we'd hear the Holy Spirit all the time, and we'd know exactly when the Holy Spirit's saying pick up and go, and when he's saying can't, but the world and our flesh and all these other things can get in the way and do. And through his word, I mean, a simple scripture that literally is like, they picked up, they left, they picked up, they left, they stayed, they left, I realized how out of sync I was with what God was doing. There's nothing amazing about that scripture that would just be like, but to me it was like, hey, I love you. You're trying to run a little too hard. I need you to settle down, and I need you to camp out underneath my cloud because we're not going to go right now. And I mean, it was like, here's the, we think that we're going to have to wait forever. I'm telling you, it was like, The next thing I know, we're getting these blueprints that people were talking about that were coming for a lot of us. It was like, okay, that's different. But anyways, a part of that accountability thing too is like, what is the Lord? What are the prophecies over your life? Some of you guys have had amazing things spoken over your life. And you're wondering where they're at. When are those going to come to pass? And why haven't they? Well, it's probably because you've lost your awareness of where God's calling you to, or you've just flat out denied going when he's tried to lead you somewhere. But we're in a time now more than ever that there's grace for going forward. Everything that people are saying in the body of Christ is acceleration, new plans, moving forward, victory, and I believe that. But it might have to mean you settling down for a little bit to know when it's time to go. Don't go in your own strength. Don't go on your own time. And here's what's funny, is it says that he sat over the tabernacle for 2 years and 2 months, and then he picked up for a three-day movement. Do you know where they ended up after 3 days, after 2 years of sitting in 3 days? The Promised Land. He took them to the Promised Land. It was a three-day movement. That's it. They weren't ready to go. And in the moving, they grumbled, they complained, they weren't prepared to go. And then Moses said, hey, we're going to send some people, and we're going to recon it. And only one came back with a good report that said, we can do this. Even though the Lord said, I'm going to put an angel before you, and you're going to go, and we're going to conquer your enemies. Let's not be those people. We have to believe the report of the Lord. We have to believe the report of the Lord. When God says it's time, it's time. If he says the victory's yours, the victory's yours. I could probably go on and on about it, but I won't. I hope that this makes some sense to you guys and will allow you to kind of seek the Father in your own time and see if you should have been settled when you were moving, or see if you should have moved when you were settled. And I bet that if you just, I just want to declare this. If you feel like it's been years and years that you've been out of sync, it only takes a minute to get right where he wants you. It doesn't take any time. So don't just fear, go. Fear of thinking that because you've screwed it up for X amount of whatever, that it's going to take that much more time. No, because it's not. It literally takes moments. It literally takes moments. And so I just want to pray for you real quick, and then we'll be dismissed. But Father, we just thank you that you are a wise, 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 incredibly smart God that knows exactly what's in our hearts, and you know exactly that how to reveal it to us. So what, you're not going to let anything be in us that's not of you. And so if you bring us to a place where we have to let some things go, thank you. And if you bring us to a place we have to pick some things up, thank you. Even if we don't feel like that's what it is, like that's the time. We want to be a people who trust you. I just feel right now that everybody in here should just verbally, just with your mouth, confess that you trust your Father in heaven. Let him hear that you trust him. And let yourself hear that you trust him. We trust you, Daddy. And we're sorry for when we get ahead of you or when we get behind you. We want to be right underneath you. You know, that was something else. Psalm 91, I feel like that's, if you're under the shadow of God Most High, no harm, no evil can come against you. We want to be a Psalm 91 people, God. We want to perceive you, where you are, and what you're doing. And we want to stay under your shadow. In Jesus' name.